All right, how's everybody doing? Welcome to Wednesday of the quarantine sessions here. And Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com. I am assuming we are live right now. So if somebody is watching, it'd be great if you gave me a heads up, gave me the thumbs up, because everything was going totally smoothly, of course, until about 10 minutes before I came on. And then everything crashed, the system crashed. Everything died out. Everything went down. It was perfect. So if you're hearing me and everything sounds good, give me a thumbs up, will you? Shoot me a comment. Let me know if you're not hearing me. I'm going to bring that down. Again, Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com. This is a brand new show called Chicago Music Revealed. This is day three. This is the third episode, day three. Today, we've got Samuel Mershing, who I'm sure I'm going to say his name incorrectly today, but that's all right. You can bear with me. Killer guitar player, lives here in Chicago. He's been doing live performances every day on Facebook or every other day on Facebook. We're going to get filled in on his schedule because I think everybody should start supporting all these live performances. There's a couple other live events happening tonight on Facebook that are musicians here in town. And it's important to obviously support all of these incredible musicians that are trying to keep the scene alive here in Chicago during trying times. Now, I'm going to preface this entire thing, as I have been doing, is that I am running the board here. I'm doing everything. So as we have major, major technical problems, bear with me, deal with it. But again, if you have any comments, any questions, if you cannot hear the audio, hit me up, please. I can see all the comments. I can see the reactions. And I'm always loving the fact when people chime in and give us some feedback. So now we're going to try something completely different. And I'm going to actually try to do a couple of things while we're talking. So hopefully this works. Now, before I get completely into the show, I was stunned to hear of the passing of the great Wallace Roney. He passed away yesterday from COVID-19. Incredible trumpet player, mentored by Miles Davis, was in the Jazz Messengers, always came to the Jazz Showcase here in Chicago. I had the honor of actually interviewing him about 4 months ago about his newest release and also him coming into Chicago to do performances at the Showcase. Wonderful guy. The thing I remember about Wallace, and you can hear the entire interview, it's over on our podcast, Chicago Audio Experience, on all the different podcast platforms, so you can sign up for that. But also the thing I remember about, it's also on chicagojazz.com. The thing I remember about Wallace is that he always brought the young musicians with him because he wanted to mentor them as he was mentored. And I just love talking to him. We had a great conversation. I was going to pull some clips in and things like that, but I figured it wouldn't do it justice. You should go check out the entire interview at chicagojazz.com or on our podcast, Chicago Jazz Audio Experience. Just put that in. It comes right up. TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Google, everything. It's all up there. So check that out. And, rest in peace, Wallace. It is a huge loss. I think everybody was shocked. And the fact that now this virus is hitting home to the jazz and music community in such a way, incredible stuff. So let's keep everybody in mind with that. And, hopefully you can check out that interview. And if you're not familiar with Wallace, hopefully that'll give you a better idea about Wallace and who he was and, all of the things he meant to the jazz community in Chicago. So, and in the world, I should say. What am I talking about? So, all right. So now moving on, we've got some news today, and I don't have a graphic for this because I just saw this. Actually, today, Kingston Mines has a special GoFundMe that we're going to get up on our GoFundMe page on chicagojazz.com, where we're listing all of the different clubs and venues that have GoFundMes running, not only for musicians, but also the staff at these venues that are now furloughed and unemployed. Everybody's got to make a living here, and they specifically are really hurting. And so Kingston Mines actually has something up there. It says Save Kingston Mines. So that's ominous. So let's make sure that, we really keep all of these staff and venue people in mind, not just to the musicians during this time, because everybody is not working. And it seems like watching and looking at the news yesterday, it's very important for all of us to stay home, to stay clean and safe, and to social distance. You know, you've got to stay away from people. I went out this morning, grabbed some coffee, totally, you know, dead outside, which is good news. But the sooner that we stay away from everybody, the sooner that we social distance, the faster we can get these clubs back open, the faster we can start performing again, the faster everything gets somewhat back to normal. So visit ChicagoJazz.com. We'll have that whole list. But Kingston Minds is another one that just launched its GoFundMe page this morning to save Kingston Minds. So something to keep in mind. Now, here we go. Some graphics. Now, our good friend Darren Scorza, great drummer in Chicago. I've known him for many years. He is doing something on his Facebook page. So I'm sure if you just put in Facebook, Darren Scorza, and it's Ask the Drummer Some. So Darren's going to be talking. He's also got a Whiskey and a Wink show, which I'm going to get him on because I'm talking about thinking about doing like a cocktail hour on Fridays, not this week, but maybe next week, where maybe I have a couple of different musicians. We all sit back 5 o'clock at night on a Friday, have a couple of libations, talk about stuff. But we're not doing that today or next week or this week, I should say. But Darren also has, you know, a great live stream happening. He's always doing different things. So check him out on Facebook tonight. I don't know what time. I think it's about 7 o'clock. He's going to go live, Ask the Drummer Some. So you can ask him anything, I would assume. I mean, probably pertaining to drums, but knowing Darren, he'll take questions about anything. He can answer a plethora of information. He's got lots of information. So that's Darren Scorza tonight at 7 p.m., I believe. Check him out on Facebook Live. And now we've got to go over to the Desperate Measures music series, which is going to be on tonight as well on Facebook Live. And that's Jeannie Tanner and Abigail Rickards. And they're going to be doing it live on Facebook. They did one a couple of weeks ago. Our friend Stacey McMichael, good friends of ours here at Chicago Jazz Magazine, she helped out with the stream, so they're going to be doing a stream tonight. Desperate Measures music series. Jeannie and Abby, they've been performing throughout the city for years. Abby came from New York. Both are very accomplished musicians. They both do solo piano, vocal, but then they also obviously play with jazz quartets, quintets, trios, everything else. They've had steadies throughout the city for many, many years. So this time, they're not working right now. So they thought they'd take their talent and do a live Facebook stream. And I watched it last week and the week before. It's very good, very entertaining. And, you know, you sit back in your house. You can sit back, kick back, relax. And the cool thing is you can also tip them, which is also very nice, right? So you can keep their hopefully some income coming in while they practice and play and perform for you digitally. So that's going to be tonight on Facebook Live. So be sure to tune in to that. And also one other thing that we're going to be talking about today, and I've got to see if I can do that. There we go. Is Samuel. So Samuel Mershing, and I'm sure I'm saying his name wrong because, you know, he already corrected me because he's a nice guy. So we're going to have him correct me again. I'm going to bring him in. I've got him on Skype. And so what I'm going to do is hopefully bring him in. Now, he does a live performance, I think, a couple of times a week. Samuel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm good. So did I totally butcher your last name?
You actually hit it right on the head of the nail. So it was like right on, Mushing.
All right. Very good. Now, you're obviously in Chicago. Let's talk a little bit about the performance you're going to be doing. You do these a couple of times a week, I think, right? Is that how you do that? Live on Facebook?
Yeah, exactly. It's on my Facebook page. It's www.facebook.com/Samuel Mushing. And the series is called Sofa Concerte. So I'm playing it from my couch, as you probably already thought. And I do it every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. and every Saturday at 2 p.m. Now, the reason why I'm doing it way earlier than everybody else is because I have some people in Switzerland listening as well. So I'm doing it so they can be part of it live. My family, all my uncles are watching every week. So it's kind of funny. That's why I'm doing it so early.
Well, I think it's a good idea to do it early because you do it early there. You don't have any competition. Usually everybody's doing it late. So that's good. Like the couple of shows that I just mentioned, they're this evening when everybody's kicking back. But as we both know, everybody's kind of kicking back and they're in the house all day anyways, because nobody seems to be able to work right now. So you're actually cornering the market.
Well, yeah, I got lucky there. I really just started because my parents said, like, oh, no, do 7:30 because you want to watch this new show. So that I, like, ask a lot of people, and then I picked the times. And it's actually, funny enough, I'm relatively busy right now. I'm still doing my Skype lesson, so I have, like, a good, like, 12, 13 students that I still teach. And I have other things going on, and like I'm really working on my mission to kind of connect the scenes in Europe and in Chicago. And right now I'm really just getting this started doing split screens with other artists, which means I may take a video of me playing like a song, and then I ask a singer to sing over it. I put it together, and I want to kind of like get something started. Maybe I got to still create a good hashtag for it, but have people in Europe are like, oh, I got to have this sax player improvising with this drummer from Chicago or something like that. I really want to get this started and do a good hashtag and make it happen and get these cats to know each other, because I think that's something that we totally lacked. And I never really pushed it too hard. And now it's just the perfect time to do it.
I think that's a great idea. You know, and actually, it kind of leads me into my next question for you. Is obviously you're not from Chicago, so you're from Switzerland. So the first question is, how did you get interested in jazz? And obviously jazz, you're probably interested in a lot of different genres, but how did you get specifically interested in jazz growing up in Switzerland? There's a lot of musicians I know that come over to Switzerland and perform, but I don't know, is that culture in Switzerland kind of ingrained, like the jazz scene?
There is and has been a jazz culture in Switzerland early on. It's a completely different deal, though, because, I mean, American jazz is just a whole other thing. But it was definitely around. I had a completely different entrance into this music. I started playing guitar when I was 10. And when I was 12, I changed to another teacher. And he was like, oh, you're talented. You should start playing jazz standards. And he started, like, teaching me ear training at, like, 12 and jazz theory and all. And I wasn't really listening to jazz. I haven't listened at all to jazz at that point. So for the first few years, like 3 years, I was really studying the mechanics and learning all these jazz standards. Like, you know, I knew Stella by Starlight before I ever listened to it,
really?
Which is completely crazy.
Yeah.
So, and then even in college, I really studied jazz. But when I came to, it's 8 years ago now, when I first came to Chicago, and I saw bands like the Deep Blue Organ Trio, I was like, I really got infected with that's a horrible thing to say right now, but I really got into traditional jazz and really started listening. I always listened to it after a certain point, but I really got fascinated with it after I came to Chicago.
How did you end up coming to Chicago?
So that's also a funny story. I went to Ireland and just by myself, went to some jam sessions and I met a guy called Cormac McCarty. That's not the writer, it's the same name. But he studied at DePaul at the time. And after I met him, I think a year later, I visited him. I think that was 2012 or 11, I'm not sure. And I went over to Chicago to come visit him because everybody always goes to New York. And I was like, no, I'm going to go to Chicago as well and I'm going to check it out. And I'm just like, was absolutely blown away by the accessibility of the scene here. Like, people are just so open and curious about you, and they're like, you're from Switzerland. I never met anybody from Switzerland, and they just want to know, and they have this curiosity. And on the other hand, there's not that many international musicians here in the jazz scene. So they were so curious, but the jazz is still it has a super strong tradition, which I love.
It's got a strong tradition, but also, I mean, you know, like the same reason why I ended up coming back to Chicago after college rather than going to New York is that I found that, you know, there's still like really killer musicians here in Chicago, and there's that ability to really grow as an artist, but it's not as compact as it is and dense as it is in New York, where, you know, there'd be one, you know, maybe there's 50 drummers compared to 500 drummers, or, you know, 60 guitar players compared to like 6,000 guitar players in New York,
yeah.
right?
Or, so, I mean, or let's face it, 20,000.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. But I mean, you know, when you got here, then that's interesting because you could play, obviously, and then you found your little niche. And then you tell me if I'm wrong, but I mean, with the Chicago scene, music scene in general here in Chicago, I mean, once you get in and you start to know people and you start to collaborate, it really, you start to meet one guy, then another person, then another person, then another, and then everything starts to escalate as long as you're continually, you know, getting better as an artist, but also kind of a cool, as long as you're a cool guy too, and they want to deal with you, it really allows an artist to grow, I think, in Chicago.
Yeah, so I think in the first 2 months I've been here, or even 6 weeks, I met 400 musicians. And I was at this stage, I was just like, and that's, social media was so practical for that, because you could not even remember their names, but you always see the face. And then I was like, oh, that's that guy. I took lessons with a lot of people, Bobby Broom, Jeff Parker, and just got, you know, got to know, Michael Amano was another one. I really got to meet all these fascinating musicians. And yeah, they were in a way open, you know, to collaborate oftentimes as well. Like, they were not as busy. I think I always say rent is a little lower here in Chicago, so you don't have to, like, you know, do a 24/7 hustle.
Yeah.
So people are a little bit more open to try something new and stick with it. I think that's the only possibility it could have ever happened, that I started playing with Rusty Jones, because I think if he would have been in New York, he would have just been on the road. You would have never seen him.
Yep.
And here I was just like, yeah, come to my basement. I'm like, what? And we started, you know, jamming, and it was just intense. It was like, it was, yeah, one of my, you know, experience of a lifetime. Yeah.
Well, and Rusty, I mean, you know, I knew Rusty like from like, what, 94, I think, is the first time I met Rusty, you know, and I knew him all the way up until he passed. But he was kind of an unusual guy, because he would be like, he's up for jamming anytime, anywhere, with anybody. He's just like, he was ready to go all the time. I've never seen anybody that enthusiastic about playing music, playing drums specifically, but playing music with anybody and collaborating with anybody. He was just so open, and he was like such an accomplished musician, performing with George Shearing for so many years and Judy Roberts and everybody else. I mean, for somebody like you, who probably at that point you were kind of like, you know, getting into the scene, but you weren't like, you know, touring the world or anything, to have somebody like Rusty, come on over to the basement, let's jam. You had to learn a ton from him.
Oh yeah, it was so intense, especially in his basement. I mean, that was like a deeply spiritual experience.
Yeah.
And he had that openness. A little later, I asked him, "Hey, do you want to go to the studio and record?" And he was open to it. And we recorded that. It was absolutely, yeah, it was just insane to be able to do all of that. And I learned so much. I always say drummers and bass players, they have some, in America, they have some jazz essence down that I never hear in Europe. It's just a completely different ballpark, or just a completely different style of playing. And I was, yeah, it's spiritual.
That's right. Because you recorded, and then Rusty passed away like shortly after the recording came out, right? Wasn't that what happened with that?
Yeah, we released it. Actually, I think we played a bit. I played the weekend, I think that was the release show. We played the weekend before he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I remember, we played in this speakeasy of a couple of friends of mine, and we did this release, and it was just like, he played the gig. He was just like, wonderful. People tipped. We made like, you know, hundreds of dollars that night with tip, because people were just so appreciative of him, and they knew him and everything. And that was such a magical night. And then, yeah, I talked to him. I remember it was like really cold. It was one of these, you know, it was really cold in the alley, and I kind of wanted to go home. I was like loading in the car, and he was, you know, he started this conversation with me. He was like, wow, thank you so much. And, you know, like he gave me like a $20 bill. He's like, you pay for all the studio stuff. I really got to pay you something back. And I was like, are you crazy? He's like, I'm so glad you were part of it. And I had this conversation, and it was just like a really, really weird thing. It felt really weird. And then, a few days later, he passed away.
Yeah.
It came totally unexpected.
Well, I remember because he called me after that show the next day because he wanted to make sure we were going to review it for the record for the magazine, and then also he wanted to try to set something up and interview wise with you guys, but then also Larry Novak and all this stuff. I mean, he was like gung ho. He really got juiced off of that recording, I think. He felt he had that energy again that he wasn't just playing regular gigs. He had some push behind it, which I hadn't seen him really do in a long time, which was awesome. And just this special guy that we could talk for 2 hours about Rusty Jones, and the people that he actually affected and the people that he actually like young musicians like myself when I came back to town, I mean, and like you when you're in Chicago and stuff. So I mean the amount of people that he actually helped with their careers and with their music and everything is it's mind-boggling to think about the impact that somebody like that could have, So, where can people pick up all these recordings? Where can people pick up any information on you? I'm sure you can probably take a Skype lesson or two, so we should probably do all our plugs here. What's your website and all that good stuff?
So if you go to Samuel Mushing, so that's MOSCHING.com, you'll basically find everything on there. I like to sell my stuff through Bandcamp. They just offer the fairest deal. But if you go to recordings, all the links are on there. There is a contact form. So if you feel like getting in touch for lessons or anything, I also teach ear training and a whole bunch of other stuff. I always loved lessons from other instruments. And I always kind of try to emphasize that people always only get lessons from their own instruments, but it's bass players should teach drummers. Drummers should teach bass players. A guitarist should teach a singer. A singer should teach a guitarist. That's how it should work. And so I always encourage that. And on my website, you can basically find all the links to all the social medias. Even the Facebook shows I do are on there with links.
That's all. Actually, that's a great point because about playing, I remember I called up Nick Schneider and I went out there and had some lessons with him and played drums with him, bass player, drummer, right? Yourself, your accompanying vocalist. That's a completely different animal than playing in a jazz trio or playing solo guitar. And you learn a lot from everybody and learning back and forth. And that's a great point you brought up. And it seems like you're pretty up on all the Skype and being able to do Skype lessons throughout the entire world, which is an incredible thing. I mean, what do you think about? Because I think this time, although it sucks, but this time right now, I think is going to allow musicians specifically to find out more about how they can connect technologically and possibly be able to push their music out to all different parts of the world. Well, I mean, you're a great example, right? Because you're doing concerts, but I mean, were you doing these kinds of concerts before this whole thing happened, where you're reaching your people in Switzerland and thinking about that? You're probably reaching a ton of people that you would have never thought you could reach right now, right?
Exactly. I always like once a year I go back to Switzerland to play a couple of gigs, and sometimes Germany, Austria, and obviously Switzerland. And like they really get a newsletter of me once a year where I'm like, okay, we're gonna play these shows. So now to connect all of that. Actually, it always has been my dream, but I never really did anything about it. So, bless you.
Thank you.
And so now I'm really working on these things, and I mean, it had to happen. I think all the musicians should be coming out stronger out of this at the end. I certainly will. I mean, not just I'm also working solo, like I have never worked solo. Solo guitar is a pretty specific thing. I do, people sometimes just sit down and play jazz standards, which I did plenty of those shows too. But now I'm starting to experiment with, like, I have a little drum computer called BeatBuddy where you can, like, it has like a ton of beats that are like, they're not quantized. So it feels really good. I have loop stations, I have an octave pedal. So I'm making whole arrangements. But I'll try to keep it live. So I'm not recording these loops for like hours before the show. I try to kind of create most of them live in a show because even when I do the split screens, I try to keep the stuff realistic. My goal is that if when people ever come to my shows, it should be, as good as the recording. The recording shouldn't be way better than that. So like that's why I try and keep it honest as well.
Well, it's exactly the way I'm doing this show. So if the whole system crashes and it sucks, then it's live, you know, and that's I think that's the allure of the whole thing too. People dig that kind of stuff, you know. So I mean I think this time, if people think about it, it's going to be a good time to hunker down, figure all this stuff out like you're doing. And then when we come out of this, everybody that's doing that is going to be well ahead of the people that didn't, and can capitalize on it. And it seems like you're finding your way through that stuff, and congratulations. And I'm happy everything's going well. And we're going to tune in at noon today, and then at
12:30 actually.
12:30 today, and then 2 p.m. on Saturdays, right?
Yes, that's it.
That's awesome. All right, Samuel. Well, thanks for jumping on today. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad you hit me up, because I wouldn't have known anything about it. And this is like fascinating. I know you and I have texted and gone back and forth on different things over the years, but it's good to finally connect with you, even though it's on Skype. It's been a great conversation.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity and everything you do for Chicago Jazz.
Oh man, thank you. Thank you. All right. Have fun, and we'll see you live on Facebook later on today.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. All right. Well, that was great, man. That was a good, I like the look into all the technology that's happening right now and how the musicians are all connecting with different people, but also the fact that he's able to connect back into Switzerland. He's also doing all these Skype interviews and everything, or Skype lessons and everything. You know, he's trying to make the best of a bad situation. And, you know, again, all the information's on his website, so check that out. We're going to link everything up. All of these videos are dropping not only on Facebook Live, but then they also get pushed out on Instagram, on YouTube, and on ChicagoJazz.com. So we're going to link everything up, and then these also go out as a podcast too. So, well, I appreciate you watching. This is the third episode, the third day in a row. We've got two more this week. We're going to do Thursday and Friday, and then we'll pick it up over the weekend. Hopefully my technology here and all of my systems get better. I feel like I'm getting a little bit better at being able to run things and smooth things out. So hopefully tomorrow will be even better, because my system won't crash 10 minutes before I come online. So everybody stay safe. Everybody stay away from people. Social distance. The sooner we do that, the better it will be, and the sooner we will get out of this and get back to some normality and get to see some live performances, go have a nice drink at a club or a venue, have a meal at a restaurant, get everybody back to work. So we're getting close to the end. Everybody stay chill. It's going to be about another 15, 20 days, and hopefully we will turn the corner, but please stay safe. And until next time, hopefully I will see you somewhere, if not on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, somewhere soon out on the scene. Take care.